Blog Talk Radio.
Take a stand, not knowing I'd lose my best friend. But I'd rather, live right than in hell lift up my eyes. All God's children to stand, tell somebody, say,
you stand.
Yeah, Lord, stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness. Oh. Stand for righteousness.
And be counted,
among them that shall reign with Him.
Hey, oh,
stand
hey.
With friends our law.
Oh.
Stand when you're all alone.
And believe
He shall receive His own.
Take a stand, not believing, at least some of my friends. And I would rather, live right, burn in hell, lift up my eyes. All of our children to stand, stand. Everybody say it,
you stand.
Oh, stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness.
David Ambrose Shaw, praise God, of David and Diane Ministry and Friends, as we come before you on this day, praise God, the day in which the Lord has made, when rejoice and be glad and thank God for allowing us to see on today one more time. We give God praise, honor, and glory again for coming forth on today with the word. God truly has anointed me and blessed me with an opportunity to bring this word, and I want to give all honor and praises to God, who is definitely the head of my life. I also would like to honor my wife, Lady Diane Shaw. And I also would like to honor those that are listening by way of YouTube, Skype, Blog Talk, Twitter. Praise God. I thank you, Aunt Merle, out there in Zion, Illinois. God bless you. God bless you, Minister Andrew Orlander out of Los Angeles, California. Praise God. Amen. And my brother, Eddie Shaw, praise God, out of Chicago, Illinois. Amen. God bless him. Amen. Praise God. We come forth on today with a message entitled, The Commitment in the Raw. The Commitment in the Raw. Oh, my God. What is that going to say, Brother Shaw? What is that going to say? Praise God. God has blessed us on today to come forth to give a message of commitment. Amen. Commitment. And before we go any further, let us take a moment to pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, as we come before you on this day, Lord God, we pause for a moment to say thank you. Thank you, Father God, for allowing us to be above ground on today with our eyes open and our arms moving and allowing us to be able to think right, act right, talk right, and be right in Jesus' name. Lord God, we ask that you do forgive us of our sins. No matter how great or how small they may be, we pray for those that are in the nursing homes, in the hospitals, that are ailing and in sick beds. We ask for healing on today, Lord God. We pray in the name of Jesus to remove any sickness or disease, any financial difficulties or problems that individuals may have in marriages or relationships or children, grandchildren. God, we pray for unity and togetherness. And as we come forth on today, I ask that the word goes forth to bring effectiveness and truth, allowing the Holy Spirit to reign. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Once again, praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm truly blessed in the name of Jesus on today. Once again, coming forth over a birthday I just had on the 29th, praise God. I thank him for allowing me to make the 53 years of age. Praise God. We thank him for allowing us to be here today, continuing to be committed to do what God has for us to do as a call of what he has for us, whatever he has for you in your life. Are we answering those calls? Are we coming forth and doing what God has for us to do with our entire mind, heart, soul, and strength? You know, these are things we have to ask ourselves. Sometimes we allow ourselves to get caught up in the ways and the isms and schisms of society in this world and about how other people think, say, and feel towards you. But as I come forth on today, praise God, with the effectiveness and truth of the Holy Spirit, which is my relationship that I have to God the Father, allow me to be able to overcome any negativities that come forth from anyone else. Can anyone share with me that? People have a tendency of speaking negativities upon us without knowing our story. And yet we still stand and stand strong in the way in which God has for us to go. It's not always easy. Many of us are called, but few of us are chosen. But we thank God for choosing us on today. We have men and women of God have gone through, praise God, so often in past as they've been called to bring a word or bring a message or even just called to help someone across the street. Whatever the call is for you on your life and what God has placed, answer that call. We have to trust God in the midst of our circumstances, and no matter what, we have to press on to the mark of the high call of God through Christ Jesus. Amen. We come with the Bible scripture off out of the day out of 1 Samuel. Praise God. We're coming out of 1 Samuel chapter 15. Praise God. We're going to look at verses 22 and 23. Yet we are going to read throughout the chapter. Praise God. And acknowledge some things throughout this chapter that we're able to understand through the Bible stories that God gives us. 2 Samuel chapter 20, chapter 15, verses. Praise God, praise God. Can you hear me? Praise God. I'm sorry for all the difficulties that we had just a moment, but we still give God praise, honor, and glory. We go through things sometimes, but what we have to do is just take a break, take a breath, and continue to press on. This is very important to understand as we go forth on today. The message that we come forth in the name of Jesus is that where we come forth with the commitment says now we have commitment to continue to move forward with this word. Commitment. And that's where this message is coming forth on this day. God prefers for us to have commitment rather than sacrifice. And understand through the anointing that commitment is a job and a responsibility that we have. In chapter 15, the first Samuel, praise God, we will read as how Samuel is to anoint Saul, bring the word of God through the men and women throughout the country about doing that which is right on what the word of God is saying. And that commitment is not always easy. When you're presenting yourself in front of people that you feel that's going to look down on you and talk down to you, and those people who's going to talk about how you used to be when you were out there, or when you used to be how you used to do, people oftentimes turn the tape when it's pointed at them. We often want to take the pebble out another person's eye as opposed of removing those stones that are coming out of our own. We oftentimes can be more riled up on not doing what we ought to be doing, the positive things of what God has for us to do. So let's continue to move forward as we read Samuel chapter 15. Now the word of God says that Samuel said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken to the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord." You see, what we got here is a point where Samuel had been called to perform a work unto a man who had been persecuting Christians for their belief and their trust in God. You see, in the midst of so doing that, he had to step in his king's role, in his leadership position, and his role to anoint someone who many didn't feel was deserving. And yet the call of what God had gave for him to do was just that. In verse, we pick up chapter verse 3. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. Now he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and sickling, oxen, sheep, with camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them and tell them 200,000, 4 men and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait into the valley." Now, the call was to go forth and to destroy and get rid of those things that were bringing blemish to the kingdom. And in this doing so, it was called upon, and Saul had the call to do what he was continuing to do in administering his message to the people. Why are they doing and sharing what it is that they're sharing. Saul had a responsibility on that where there needs to be conversion. There needs to be a change. There needs to be an understanding. And it's here where Samuel, who is the king, who had the authority and the rule to be able to appoint and anoint a person into authority, was placed in a situation where he'd seen how the persecution that was coming upon him from the others were not reputable. But yet he stood as the king, standing firm to do precisely what God had called for him to do, and that's to anoint Saul to be a man of God. Now understand, Saul came from a long lineage in history of persecution and hardship and turmoil. And yet in the midst of the wrong and all of what he had done with persecuting Christians, men, women, children, God still found favor in him. As we read, praise God, to how Saul was knocked off the horse or the mule, and how Saul had scales on his eyes, what he could not see. There was reasons as to why the test, the situation is that God placed blindness upon him, where he could not see what and all he had was memory of what was in the past. But when we're placed in a situation where our backs are against the wall, that you have to make a change. You have to make a change. There's a call that's far greater than what's in your life and what you've experienced previously. Greater understanding is perfect for you in your life. You may not understand it. We may not feel it. You may not have the answers, but the purpose is clear. If God be for you, who can be against you? So if the call for Samuel, the king, was sent forth to anoint Saul, the unfortunate thing is that though the king was called to anoint him, the king rejected Saul. Sometimes we want to reject what God called for us to do at the time he's called for us to do it because we're caught up in our own isms and schisms. People will call you to do a position, or call you into a certain job. But if you don't have the fortitude or the mentality or the know-how to perform that job, embarrassment would take place. You understand what I mean. Pressure, stress, and a lot of things that come upon you. Because, see, God did not arrange that or designate your situation or you to do what it is that it's just doing. You went to buy that car. God didn't tell you to do that. Smooth. Everything would have worked out right if we do what it is that God has appointed and called for us to do at that time he's called for us to do it. If God be for you, who can be against you? Car payment, house payment, whatever it is, what God has for you is for you. So if we take on our own to say we're going to go do this or we're going to go by that, and we didn't pray for it, and we didn't seek first the face of God as we believe in Matthew 6:33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then those other things will be added on. That anointing came at birth, and then we're baptized in his blood as we go into the water, acknowledging the fact of his death and resurrection. You see, in so doing, those blessings come upon us because the anointing now is upon us. The anointing comes by way, as you know, symbolically of the oil. This is the true custom, praise God, that they've done years ago in bringing forth anointing. It's oil, that they anoint you with oil. But the far greater anointing that we want to receive is that of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, that anoints you for understandably speaking, once you are baptized. Once you are baptized in the remission of your sins, your body becomes clear, becomes free and clean. And I can welcome the Holy Spirit. We've seen how, praise God, the commitment that we have to bring the word. I have committed to bring the word of God. This is not something I do just for cattle or to look good or to eat at the big table when they have church dinner. No. The call of my life to bring the word of God is committed to bring the word of God at the time that God has called me to bring that word. If it's 1 o'clock, it's 1 o'clock. I understand things come and happen. And whatever scenario or situation that you may be having, maybe the same, or if you have any. But the point is that if God has called you to say, help those that are called, and you choose not to do it, you're going to be held accountable for that call that God has for you to do it. And I feel like I talked about a couple things here as far as being anointed and being called and chosen for something. See, the call that has been something that's been transpired in the foundation before the foundation of the fruit. We talked about this many times before in our continued study on commitment. And as you mentioned, praise God, through that commitment, we have society or your friends bringing forth you. Because they, God gave you to do far exceedingly above anything you can think or imagine. And that though you think you're right, you may be wrong. Because if it does not line up with the word of God, then it's not right. It is wrong. And that's where on today I have to stand firm to the commitment and being true to God's word. Please understand, my friends, I'm not perfect. And we know that none of you out there are perfect. We do know in the name of Jesus that sometimes we get in to the thing. I know that sounds a little strange, but sometimes we get in because you might listen to your cuss word. Sometimes you get in because you might have did something that you felt you were, or you tried to not. The point of the matter is this. Is that God prefers for us to have commitment rather than sacrifice. But that doesn't mean he does not want you to sacrifice. It does not mean that sacrificing from drinking an evening day before going to church or drinking all, you understand what I'm saying. Two wrongs don't make a right. See, it doesn't make any steps for us to continue to practice sin when we're not moving and getting in. And what is the sin? It's the sin when we're not giving God all of our mind, heart, soul, and strength. Huh? No, we're not perfect. But daily we have to deny ourselves. The Bible says daily we have to deny ourselves. You want to be committed?
If you wake up in the morning and you know you got to go to work, you got to do everything you can to try to get to work on time. But what about that time when they say, well, you don't have to go to work tonight. You don't have to go to work today if you don't want to. What's your commitment? What is your commitment? What is your commitment to support your family? Your commitment is to support your family. And how is it that you support your family? But they go in the world. They're not being saved. You know, God talks about the seven deadly sins. Falseness is one of the deadly sins. Laziness is one of the deadly sins. And that can be broken down in many categories of understanding. Laziness to get up and read the Word of God. Laziness to pray before you go to bed. Laziness to pray before you eat your meal, every meal. Laziness, you understand. The little things that seem insignificant are more significant when you're doing it lazily onto the outside of God. Because no longer is it about you anymore. In our ministry here at David and Diane Ministry, it's not about you anymore. You have to be willing to sacrifice what it is that you do. Sometimes you might have to stay up and not go to look after your mother. Sometimes you might have to stay up so you can put a victim or feeding tube in your system. These are things that are not, you don't have to do. These are things that you don't have to do. But you do them because you commit. Not only just for the quality of life of another, but the commitment that you have for God to be all that you see. The important thing about this is that many of us are called, but few of us are chosen. Many of us want the king and the queen's blessings, but they don't want to do the labor that's involved in the midst of doing so. Many people don't know what goes on behind closed doors after the lights are on. But that's where the integrity, that's where the trust and the honesty and the love of this control coming from God is real on the inside. You see the title of the message on today? Amen. You see the title on the message on today? Commitment in the raw. This means that you may be sick, you may be discouraged, you may have an issue, you may have a defective character that can't nobody stand. But yet, in the midst of so doing, it's imperative, no matter where you came from, the call that God has on your life is to do far and exceedingly above anything you could think or imagine. It's not about where you came from. It's about where you're going and where you're at. You see, I share with you, praise God, the words of encouragement through scripture of the Word of God and my personal life experiences, also allowing God in the name of Jesus to use my testimony, hallelujah, of what I've been through and how he's brought me through to let you know this thing works. This thing. What I mean, this fine family and body of Christ in this born-again experience. For with the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life now, is able to stay true and firm and committed to something. Because like we know in our growth, that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. These words of encouragement come out of the scripture where we speak on Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trusting in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not to your own understanding, but on your ways, acknowledge him, and he directs your path. You see, what's imperative here is that we have to stop looking at ways of how we can shook and jive and perpetrate the fraud. And in the end, recognize and keep it real. Because in the raw, You're keeping it real, and you're keeping it 100, and you're not trying to be something that you're not. You see, the commitment that we have on today, praise God, is that commitment that trusting in the Lord with all of my heart. Now, though I might have sometime fall, I'm not utterly cast out, the Bible said. It said, I might fall, but I'm not utterly cast out. We have to continue to press on trusting in God. No, I can't steal. Oh, there's many kind of religion. Oh, this, that, and the other, about every reason we can have not to serve and worship God, or why we doing what it is that we doing. We need to stop making excuses. Amen? Stop making excuses as to why it is that we're doing what we're doing. And why is it we need to answer we're not doing what we should be doing? The way in which we go about doing so like that. And as a man of God, I've been ordained, I've been allowed in the name of Jesus, anointed and blessed with the Spirit of God to bring his word. And as I bring the word, I trust the Holy Spirit as he speaks through me to let you know, stop running and making excuses. This is that time in the name of Jesus that we need to turn from our wicked ways. The word of God says to be not conformed to this world, but be planted by the renewing of your mind. That means you don't talk the way you used to talk. Don't walk the way you used to walk. You don't act the way you used to act anymore. You don't dress the way you used to dress anymore. Because change. And if you're not ready for that, because you're wasting time. Can I say that? You're wasting time. All the time that we come forward to pray and keep but and the Lord can be there. All the patience that one has to get to the next level has to continue to press on each and every day. Why is that? Why is that? Because the Bible says that no man knows the day nor the time when Jesus is to be coming. No man knows. So while you're sitting on the couch right now, or while you're driving to the job, or while you're just sitting there smoking your crack cocaine, can I say that? Jesus can show up. And excuse me if I said to anybody by analogy, crack cocaine. But the point I'm making is whatever you're doing at the time that you're doing it, Jesus is going to come. And it's not going to stop because you're doing what you're doing, or you're in a hospital, or you're broke, or you're unemployed, or you're tired. No. Jesus Christ is coming back. Point is that we, and we know, we don't know when he's going to come, but we do know he is coming. So the thing is that we have to arm ourselves and prepare ourselves daily. You see that Bible? That Bible has a lot of pages. And granted, there's men of God and bishops and a lot of people that know their Bible from front to back. There's something else I'm going to share with you. The devil knows the Bible front to back. Can I say that again? The devil, Lucifer, Satan, God, the angel that was in heaven that God threw out, who was his right-hand man, knows the Bible front and back. From to back and back to front. The point is that he does not understand it. Why? Because he has not the spirit of righteousness of God on the inside of him. You see, that's the differentiation between a Christian and a worldly man. You see, the thing is that we have take whatever sin you made, whatever sin you committed, whatever it was. You must repent. You must free yourself of that bondage, of that chain that's holding you back. You must repent. And then the Bible says we must be baptized. And we did them. That's not being sprinkled over your head. No. That's humbling yourself. That baptism, going under the water, is a sense of humility. Because now, you're being ready to get dumped under the water with your clothes on in a baptismal of a person. Maybe you know him, maybe you don't. But a bunch of strange people seeing you going under the water. But what it is takes humility. You have to humble yourself. And then once you humble yourself, you're saying, God, I can't take the sin. I see I was wrong for what I did. The lifestyle I live, I was wrong for how I did it. My wife, or how I did my child, or how I did my husband. But the point is, once you admit to your fault, go under the water. And once you go under that water, you're dying. You're symbolizing how Jesus Christ went to the cross. How Jesus Christ took that stripe on the back of them. They say they had a pallet, which there was another stripe that was pressed down in the glass. So when it came in, they hit Jesus Christ in. Every time they whipped him, the stripe, every time they looked, they tore flesh. Every time they whipped him, it tore flesh. For you, he did that for you. And he and me, in me, because Jesus didn't go and steal that beautiful gun. Jesus didn't go over there and kill that man. Jesus didn't go over there and sleep with that woman asleep. Jesus didn't do that, but he bore those sins for you. Just so you can say, I believe that Jesus Christ died and he rose from the dead. And now he said that the right hand of the Father is deceiving because you can't do this by yourself. Because his commitment was to the cross, all of us, on the good side. See, his commitment was to the cross. And he had to bear witness to the death and resurrection because let me tell you something. They took him down off the cross. When they said that they won, they took him down off the cross. When they figured they overcame this man from about he died. They took him down off the cross. And then they took him down off the cross. They took him over. And David went to borrow tomb. Or borrow tomb. You see now, borrow tomb. He wasn't over here at all. So he went, he stayed one night. Came another night. But then early they they came to set him out, but he was gone. He was gone. He had risen. His commitment was to rise, to die, to rise, to live, and intercede for you. And intercede for me. Now that's a serious thing, and that's a serious commitment that I'm sure if there were one of us would be willing to do. Give our only begotten son. Give your child up. Let alone yourself. But yet Jesus Christ died. He died for deliverance from threatful king. He died for deliverance and forgiveness of murdering that person. He died when you see it. He died for your lies. He died. But let me tell you something, he died at one time. He does not have to die again. It only took that one time. That commitment was committed as unto death, yet also unto resurrection and life.
that we have that opportunity in the name of Jesus on today to be able to have that life. For the life is true and is real. And it was bore witness as to how Jesus had died and rose from the dead. But then it didn't stop there because now he sits at the right hand of the Father. But all before stand there and see him. It has all witnessed that he has risen from the dead with all power and pain. So we can get along with the birds. We can get along with the squirrels. We can get along with the white man. We can get along with the black man. We can get along with the Chinese man. We can get along. We can get along with the... We can get along with everybody and not pay judgment on anybody because God loves them. And God has loved them. And we have to have that love even in the midst of someone cutting you off. After you lay before them day and night, and they still have a negative word to say to you. Love is able to overcome. What are you doing today? Are you questioning how something is that or the other? When what we recognize here at David and Diane Ministry of Friends is that seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all those things shall be added on. But we know for a fact, we know that all things, no matter how great they are, no matter how small they are, no matter how red they are, no matter how green they are, all things are good to them. That what? Did you have it? The word says, all good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, whatever you're going through, whatever you concern yourself about, all this is wrapped up with one thing. Trust God. Trust. Because it's in his word when you get trust. It's in his word when you get love. It's in his word when you get forgiveness. It's in his word when you get answers. So everything that's transpired on your life today is in the word of God. That word of God is made flesh in Jesus Christ. That word died and went to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is God, and that Spirit can be in you if you accept Jesus Christ as your person. You must accept him. And you must invite him into your life. And then once that Holy Spirit comes into your life, once that Holy Spirit comes into your life, and if you don't believe what I'm saying, try it out. Try it out! But I tell you, he took a man like me, homeless, on drugs, struggling, came from a good life. But the enemy was trying to kill me, was trying to attack me and keep me from getting my promise, keep me from adhering to my commitment. So he allowed me to get out into the world, to live the world, and get into drugs, and get into women, and oh, just so many things happened to where it called me to turn my mind off God, when the main purpose is to serve God, worship God, and then do what he had meant for us to do. We ought to go out and press the good news and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have a responsibility and commitment to do what God has called for us to do, and that's share this word. If you're not sharing what scripture mentions in the Bible. How? To those who love him. How much more is it for God to give gifts to us who love him? Come on, man. It's a no-brainer. But yet we know how the enemy brings subversion and negativity into our life. And that's when we have to resist. That's when we have to recant. For the word says to resist the devil and he will flee. Let me tell you something. Some of those negative thoughts about going over there doing this, that, and the other, and this, that, and the other, came for 2 or 3 seconds that could cause you to wreck your life. But the word that is known is he. It's for God. And if we daily and constantly seek the face of God, we will not fulfill the desires of sinful flesh. And it's only going to come for a moment. The enemy is going to come for a moment. Now he's going to come for a moment today. You can resist it today. And he's gone. But then he'll come back. And when he comes back, he's going to come back. But understand, once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and understand once you've helped and have invited the Holy Spirit into your life, once you've been accepted or asked for forgiveness of your sin and your body is clean, your spirit can be clean, clean, the enemy's going to bring 7 spirits worse than the first. And those spirits are going to come and be more of God. Then the serpent was in the Garden of Eden when he beguiled Eve to take of the fruit. If you know the Bible story, you know how it was for that. Just imagine how it was for nowadays with all of the temptations going on in the world today. It's so important to stay true and clean, close to God. Because in reading his word, you can learn and recognize. And the Spirit will bear witness. The word of God was written by the inspiration and the Spirit of God. That's God's word. That word, when it's going forth, it does something to him. It does something to the Spirit. Kind of like Mary had when the baby jumped in her stomach knowing that Jesus was with her. So this is where we must recognize, praise God, to seek his face and accept him while he can be accepted.
Praise God. This is the word that's on today. Amen. And we must understand the commitment in the raw, praise God. And I truly thank, praise God, all those that have joined us in on today to hear the word. Because that commitment that God has for us to bring forth unto him holds that of an anointing. That anointing is that mark. That anointing is that mark. That mark knowing that the Holy Ghost is in your life, the Spirit of God is in your life. And when you carry and walk with that mark, when you walk with that anointing and under that anointing, you will not feel the desires of sinful flesh. And God will give you protection. Trust in him. If you've sinned and if you're living in sin right now, I share with you this. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I believe you and I trust you. And I know you are God all by yourself, creator of all, ruler of all, healer of all, my provider, my deliverer, my healer. And it's in that, Father God, in Jesus' name, as we come before you on this day once again, I say thank you. But even so, God, I ask that you forgive me of my sins, Lord. Whoever listening on this prayer, Lord, forgive them of their sins, no matter how great or how small. We pray in the name of Jesus that you continue to press us to do what you have for us to do. Under the anointing, with the commitment as we act in the raw to do your word, do your will, and do your way. God, we thank you. We thank you even as we've gone forth, as the enemy comes to try to bring the message away. We thank you for continuing to bring the message to. We give you praise, honor, and glory, asking that you forgive us of our sins. Amen. Amen and amen. Now, you may have prayed that prayer. If you did, God bless you. I encourage you to get into a Bible reading church. I encourage you to begin to start reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And if you don't choose to read from Genesis to Revelation, start in the book of John. The book of John in the New Testament. Amen. But we continue to bring forth the word of God effectively as we do Monday through Friday, 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, Bible reading. And then we come on Wednesdays. We come in the evening time at 9. And then on Fridays as well. And then on Monday, Minister Andrew Orlander comes on at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. So praise God. We thank you for joining us on today. This is an awesome day, a great day to be alive. Remember, I love you with the love of God. This is the great day.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say never.